morning, I'm very excited because Jefferson Dedrick has offered to talk with us today, with all of us, and he's coming up with me. We're going to go up there. Jefferson started coming to University United Methodist Church in August, so he's pretty brave to come up here and talk already, right? Well, thanks again for talking with us. I appreciate it. And you're a student at SU, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, a law. Oh, I forgot the microphone for you. Yep. He is a law student at Syracuse University. Two tall people can do this. It never would have worked out if it was me being short. So I have a couple questions for you.
Sure.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right.
I think I'm ready. Can you hear me? Okay, good.
So how did you find us? How did you find University United Methodist Church?
Yeah, so the first time I came to this church, I peeked in from that door up there because I was here for conference stuff
when
I was
right.
younger. I was active. I'm from Western New York, so I had never been here before, but they're like, oh, we have to show you this beautiful, beautiful sanctuary. I was like, yeah, great. So I peeked in that door, and here I am 5 years later. I decided to come to Syracuse, and so I traveled up with my dad, and I'm looking at places to live. And he goes, hey, look, there's a United Methodist Church. I'm like, hey, you're right, Dad. I'm like, yeah, I gotta better find a church. And so I ended up Googling the church, of course, and went to the website and scrolled through it and saw all of the different things that this church community is doing. And I said, yeah, I can give that a try.
Oh, all right. Good. And so when you arrived, what did you find? What was your first experience here?
Sure. Well, it was a usual cast of characters, I think, at this time. Dean welcomed me at the front and shook my hand and welcomed me to the church. And then I sat right back in the back, what we call the sinner's pew in my church. Barbara came up and tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, welcome. And now I know that that's the welcome team, that they were doing their job in welcoming me. And so that was my first experience, was a community that was from the get-go welcoming me to their home, to their place of worship.
I wonder, what made you come back?
Yeah, well, law school's hard, so it's nice to have a break. And what better break but to come worship? Yeah, this is a more difficult question for me. When I was in undergrad, I went to Fredonia, which is a SUNY school. I didn't go to church for my 4 years there. I didn't find a community that spoke to me and spoke to the community, the greater community, in a way that I wanted to be a part of. But for the first day that I showed up here, hearing about the breakfasts and all of the service to the community and hearing people worship together and experience that worship, I immediately clicked. And I said, all right, well, that will bring you back for a second week.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been back every week since.
Yes. Well, yeah. We're grateful. So I'm wondering, how are you feeling or seeing that newcomers, new folks, can get involved?
Sure. Well,
is it coming up here and talking in front of everyone?
No.
No, this isn't normal.
Yeah. When I was thinking about this question, Pastor Alicia pitched it to me last week. I think what we have to think of as a church is, what do we have to offer that the rest of the world doesn't have to offer to youth and young adults?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, going to Syracuse, there's all sorts of programs at Syracuse. It's very easy to find people to hang out with and be friends with. But there's something out in the rest of the world that you can get here. And I like to think that that's what brings people to church.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we can offer as a church community to young adults from Syracuse, but also young families who are living in the area and are trying to find their place in the community. Yeah. Is the one thing that we can offer is a personal relationship with God and a community that supports that relationship. And there's just so many things in the world, you know, there's programs all over the place,
mm-hmm.
and there's places that you can hang out and places where you can be in community. But there is no community like community of God. There is no family that can give you the support and love that being in a place like this can give you.
Yeah.
So I think that as we think about how we welcome young adults and students and young families to our church and how we connect them with our community and how we connect them with God, we have to think about what we can offer them that they can't get elsewhere.
Right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for talking with us. And we're grateful that you gave us some insight on what it's like to be new at University United Methodist Church. And so will you sit with me for a minute while I enter? Okay. So this church is more than a place to clock in and clock out on Sunday mornings. As Jefferson said, there's so much going on in our community, in our church. So this church, this congregation, is on the cusp of something. Something that is very exciting. Just as our text from Acts said today, the community grew in numbers, and we have been growing here. When I arrived the summer of 2015, we were seeing on average about 90 people in worship. And over the summer of 2017, we saw on average 120 to 125 people. And this fall, we've been seeing numbers, not every week, but many weeks, that are 145. So the Spirit is moving in here, and we can be a part of this. How exciting. So I have a goal, and I'm hoping all of you will join me in this goal. I have a goal that we see an average attendance of 150 a week come Christmas. So that takes all of us connecting and building relationships and inviting. So this congregation is the right place and at the right time to make a difference in our city and our nation. Being an active community of faith means being a part of something bigger than ourselves, which Jefferson talked about, that family of God. So I'm talking about a movement of seeking justice, the kind of justice that Jesus talked about. I'd like to show you a video. It's about our church that is a part of this movement and that I believe can continue to be a part of this movement. And I think this movement is born of the Holy Spirit.
Across the world, there is a sound, an echo of hope, a song of love, a shout of joy.
Hey, how's that project going?
Good.
It's the sound of the church rediscovering what it means to be the church. We're reaching back, we're reaching up, we're reaching out. Will you come along and join a movement 2,000 years in the making? This isn't a place of judgment or hypocrisy or perfect people. This is a place of freedom. This is a place of hope. This is a place to belong.
We are a part of this movement. Yeah, I love that video. Wasn't it great? We are a part of this movement 2,000 years in the making. People in our city and our world, they're losing hope. They're wondering, where do I belong? And asking, where is God in all of this? I invite you to invite others to be a part of this movement. Not because it's something that they have to do or we have to do, but it's because it's something that we all want to do. We all want to be a part of this movement, this justice-seeking movement. Our movement includes building relationships. It's about inclusion. It's about mercy. It's about justice. And it's about grace. So as we talk about pledging our hard-earned money to the church, let's also remember our other goals of authentic worship, outreach, justice-seeking, and lifelong learning. And remember, we are pledging to a movement. So, later today, during our closing hymn, the children are going to come forward and get some baskets, and they're going to stand up in the front here, and we're going to ask all of you, as you sing the closing hymn, to come up with your pledge cards and put them in the basket. If you're unable to bring your pledge cards up, the children will be coming around as well. And also, they're going to come up to the organ loft too, so choir, be ready. There's a reason that the children are doing this. It's not because they've been, you know, elected to do this and they're cute, which they are. They're doing this because as we turn in our pledge, we're making a promise to our future. We're making a promise that there is something yet to come. And so when you make your pledge, know you're handing this pledge to a child. And so I ask you, as we move forward this year in 2017 and 2018, who will you invite to be a part of this?